The Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready? You think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. And also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you are good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jongi Football, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you missed the first hour, a lot of good stuff. We will hopefully have a lot more good stuff to come in the next 2 hours. Got RJ Bell this hour. That's always good. He's always good. Somebody said they hired that firm after the Nwachukwu case. Well, if they did, nice job, firm.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's not working. And you know, a lot of people say, well, it happens at every college. It happens at every college. Let me just say, if you're a Baylor alum, isn't your school supposed to be, are you supposed to be a religious school? Are there supposed to be values there? Doesn't that mean something to you a little bit? A little bit more than someplace else where heathens go? Just asking.
Some heathen school.
So, I mean, if it's the whole thing, well, look at this school, look at this, look at Tennessee. Okay, but shouldn't you have higher standards? Just asking. Just speculating. All right, 713-780-3776. So a lot of things to get to. We have to talk about, well, two things. I wanted to kind of follow up on a little bit from the debate because it became a big deal about how apparently Trump had an off-the-record conversation with the New York Times, and now everybody wants that conversation released.
Yeah.
Two thoughts on that. Number one, it's very important to have off the record conversations, sometimes for background on pieces, sometimes because it can help lead you to a place where you can get something on the record. I don't know why they would agree to do this with a presidential candidate, because frankly everything should be transparent, but the fact that they did means that's where it has to stay. I mean, if you go in saying off the record, then I don't care if Trump comes back now and says, fine, do it. No, the conversation was off the record. And the fact that they told people they had it off the record, it's kind of stupid. And any of these other candidates, if they had done the same thing, they wouldn't want it out either.
Yeah.
Now, to me, you shouldn't have to have off the record conversations while you're running for president with anybody, because what are you hiding? I mean, that part of that's you're trying to get something out about somebody else.
If I'm Donald Trump, if someone asked to have an off the record conversation, I say no thanks.
No. I mean, why do it? But the other thing I wanted to get to, I think, is of something of particular interest to you.
Okay.
You've seen the latest in the OJ murder story here?
I did.
This is a bizarre story. First off, I'm going to go on record is I think this story is a total fake that has come out because the series is out now.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to start with that. But apparently a knife was found buried near the perimeter of O.J. Simpson's home at some point over the past several years. Police are reportedly just now running tests on it. Now, the story of how this happened is pretty freaking bizarre. The exact date is unclear, but stories range from, quote, several years ago to 1998 when Simpson's estate was demolished. I guess if I were buying, I don't know, I'd want to buy that house. That'd be a cool house to have.
Yeah, it's not like that's where the murder happened.
No, it was like out front, right?
Well, that was at Nicole's house where the murder
happened. Okay, yeah. I wouldn't mind having that. But anyhow, it's described as a folding buck knife. The construction worker who discovered the knife reportedly took it to the street where he gave it to an LAPD officer.
An off-duty officer.
Off-duty, who worked in the traffic division and was working security for a film that was being shot. Rather than turning it over to LAPD, he allegedly took it home and kept it.
Which, when you think about why OJ got off, let's just say, and it turns out they say that this knife couldn't have been the weapon. But let's just say that it was. That's how evidence was handled by the LAPD. No wonder OJ got off.
Well, in this case, it wouldn't have mattered.
No, because it's after the fact. But just saying, if that's an example of how the LAPD handles things, well, I'm going to take it home and keep it for a souvenir. Yeah.
Well, anyway, he basically was going to keep it, and then he told a friend about the knife and said he was getting it framed to put on his wall, and he wanted to get his friend to get the departmental record numbered for the
case number.
For the case number. Because he was going to put that on the frame.
Oh, boy.
The friend obviously got ticked off and told his superiors. And they, of course, demanded he turn it over, and now it's being, you know, they're looking at it to see if it has blood or anything that would.
They've already looked at it. They said that it can't be. They've had an update on that story. There's no way that was the knife, they said.
Well, the thing is, I still think the whole story's a fake. I think it's some planted knife or something, and now that they're just trying to get attention to the People versus
Maybe
O.J.
So.
Simpson.
Well,
because it became a big story.
Daddy Juice back in the news.
Yeah, Daddy Juice will be up for parole in a year or so. Think he'll get out?
I don't know. He's got a year. EK says, "What higher standards, dude? It's a crime. Shouldn't happen anywhere. Everyone needs to be held to a higher standard." I'm not saying it should be. It should be considered a crime. It shouldn't happen anywhere. I'm just saying we've seen it happen a lot at Baylor, and it's been very public. And yeah, I think that there's more of a problem there. I mean, it's a problem everywhere, but I think it's a more concentrated problem there. Because remember, that's not a big school. There's not a whole ton of students going there. Yet somehow this keeps happening.
Well, my bigger concern is it just seemed like there's so many of them that were swept under the rug before. And the way they handled the last one was poorly done.
They have a poor track record. Yeah. So what that does, when you have a poor track record of handling your problems, when the problems arise again, it's more there's more of a spotlight on you. That's just the way it is. That's the way it is in all aspects of life. You know, Johnny Football's gotten to where he can't go to the strip club without it being a news story. He brought that on himself, though.
Yeah.
If
he spends a weekend with a model, it goes to TMZ.
If name,
and she tells it.
Let's say name another Heisman Trophy winning quarterback. If Sam Bradford went to the strip club tonight and someone videoed it and sent it to TMZ, what do you think they'd do with it? They'd shrug their shoulders.
Yeah.
If Sam Bradford went on a date with a model that you send the video to TMZ, what are they doing with it? Nothing. You send that same video of Johnny Manziel, they're paying for it because it's news now because he's made it to where everything he does like that is news.
But
it's magnified.
When does it stop being news?
On Johnny Football?
Yeah.
When he's out of the NFL.
Well, he's probably out of the NFL. Really think somebody's giving him another chance?
And maybe a little while after that.
Because
they'll want to see his crash and burn. They want to see the full crash and
burn. But, I mean, what's different about him guzzling champagne a month ago and him guzzling champagne yesterday at this point?
Well, because a month ago he wasn't accused of cracking his girlfriend's head open.
Well, no, there was a story that came out the day where they were looking at it. He was out chugging champagne.
Yeah.
Well, 2 weeks later he's chugging champagne again. Why is that still a story? Why do we care? At this point, we know the guy goes out and parties. You know, the thing with the model that he spent a weekend with, we know he does all that. Why do we care? Why do people keep clicking on it? Why are we even talking about it?
Why are we still talking about OJ? Why is finding a knife on OJ's house his house, why is that a story?
That's a media thing because that knife was planted because there's a show going on right now. That's what I think. I'm asking hypothetically, but I'm serious about it. Everybody clicks on those stories. Anytime you put Johnny Manziel in there, people click on it. When does that stop? When does that end? Because he's not relevant anymore. He's not going to be a quarterback in the NFL.
It'll go away. I mean, just like eventually it went away with Ryan Leaf, you know? And, you know, now, I mean, we talked to Ryan Leaf at the Super Bowl, and I found it interesting then because nobody talked about him for a long time. But eventually people will forget about Johnny Football. He'll be a footnote. And when people talk about his NFL career, they'll go, oh, God, what a mess that guy was. But eventually it won't be big news. But, I mean, here's the other side of that. If Ryan Leaf got arrested for running meth tomorrow, you know damn well it'd be a story, right?
Yeah.
If some sixth-round pick from that same draft got busted, same thing, it's not a story. Some sixth-round pick that played for half a season in the NFL and got cut and never made it. It's a matter of when you're a star and people see that potential that you could have been great and you blow it, people want to watch that thing burn till the last ember's out.
I guess. Although somebody says Vince Young's last DUI was a total wash, no one even cared. That's probably true.
That's probably true.
Do we even mention it? Greg says it's because people love drama and want someone to make them feel better about their own crap.
That's possible.
Mm. But I mean,
Remember also Vince when he got that DUI? What's he 4 years removed?
Yeah. But I mean, hasn't the train already wrecked with him? I mean, because to me, the domestic assault stuff, that's pretty serious.
Oh yeah.
And if he winds up going to trial over that, that's extremely serious. What is chugging champagne with a bunch of hot chicks? Why is that still interesting to people? I'm just asking.
Because people think, I mean...
I thought you had an answer for me.
No, people are saying because he's got all this stuff going on, you'd think he wouldn't be out partying while he's got these serious issues surrounding him. But he just doesn't seem to care.
He never has, though. That's why... He's going to be doing a reality show in a couple of years. That'll be his thing. Partying with Johnny. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
Lock them in. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Santos asked, 45 minutes until weigh-in. I expect fireworks.
Yeah, we need to put one of these TVs on that.
Yeah.
Now, where's the remotes to the TVs in here?
I don't even know. I've never been able to change them. I came in one day and it was on TVG, the horse racing network. Yeah. I'm like, cool, somebody put it on TVG. And then it...
John, you keep the remotes in there? What's going on?
Yeah, I think you change it in here. I haven't done it before. Or, do you know what channel it's on?
It'll be on Fox Sports 1.
Okay.
And he asked, who do you have tomorrow night? I know you've been on... I'm going to kind of go with you here. I'm going to keep betting against McGregor until he loses.
I mean, I'll keep betting against McGregor if I get 4-1 odds every time.
Yeah, sooner or later, that's going to pay off.
Yeah.
Of course, it hasn't the last three, so technically, if it does this time, you're just breaking even, but that's all right. And he wants to know who you like in the co-main event.
Man, I think Miesha Tate has a very good shot of winning that fight.
Yeah?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't pretend to know much about girl fighting. I don't, but I think she's got a good chance of winning.
713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. I know you wanted to get to Oscar Pistorius, so.
Yeah, poor Oscar, by the way. Can we say that now? Just when you thought that, you know, things were going his way, well, he's been denied leave to appeal against his conviction. The Constitutional Court has made the ruling, which means that he will be sentenced in April. They're like, no, you killed her. That's pretty much it. A manslaughter verdict was overturned in December, and a murder verdict introduced in its place. So he's now, they found no prospect of success in Pistorius' appeal. The case now goes back to the judge who cleared the athlete of the murder in the original case for sentencing on April 18th, which makes me wonder, is this judge going to go easy on him? But the state wants no less than 15 years. I guess both sides will present their arguments over how much time he should get. But he's currently under house arrest after spending 1 year of his original 5-year sentence in jail. In December, they said that they had not applied correctly the rule that whether Pistorius knew a death would likely be the result of his actions. Justice Eric Leach said that having armed himself with a high-caliber weapon, Pistorius must have foreseen that whoever was behind the door might die, especially given his firearms training. Pistorius has always maintained he believed the shooting was at an intruder and not his girlfriend.
Can back up for just a second, though.
Okay.
Murder? 15 years?
And I guess that's what that's the minimum sentence in South Africa.
Hmm. Okay. So remember when we were talking about countries that we would live?
South Africa. Yeah. There? Yeah.
Well, if I could whack somebody and get 15 years?
Let's also consider that this guy was a national hero in South Africa.
So you're saying I wouldn't be a national hero?
You're not a national hero.
I have two legs, though.
I think that's part of why he was a national hero, is because he didn't.
That makes me normal.
Yeah. If he had both legs and full use of them, he would have just been another guy.
Oh, okay.
I mean, granted, a guy who runs fast, but just another guy.
Didn't get away from the police, though.
He did not. I think he had a hard time finding his blades that day.
Mm. Oh, well. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776.
That's the worst, when you think you've gotten away with it. And they're like, oh, yeah, 5 years. He's like, yes. Manslaughter. Got him. Then they're like, we're going to take this up to the Supreme Court. And everybody on the Supreme Court thinks that you're full of it. So we're switching it back to murder. You're now, I mean, that's pretty hardcore. Now, when you talk about reasons you might want to live somewhere else, some of these justice systems are pretty wild. They basically say, okay, you're guilty of manslaughter. And then another judge looks at it and goes, no, that's murder. You're back on the hook for murder, buddy. That sucks. But I mean, I don't. Not that I feel sorry for the guy. I'm pretty sure that he did it on purpose. But
yeah,
I'm not a judge, or I'm not on that jury. Which, by the way, bad news. March 14th, Jong. I don't know what day of the week it is. I've got jury duty, so hopefully I'll be done
again?
By then. Yeah,
Monday.
Ugh.
You must be on their list of somebody that they get every month or so. Jeez.
I don't know. I mean, I guess it's been a couple of years since I did the last one, but I feel like that's about, I mean, it should be every 5 years or something. How come you're not getting jury duty?
I don't know.
How come Jong's not?
Maybe they gave up on me. I haven't done jury duty in, God, since the early 2000s.
Last time they kept me till the very end. Hmm. Hopefully this time they just let me out of there early.
Well, good luck with that.
Fox Sports 1 has NASCAR on?
It's Fox Sports 2, I'm told.
Okay.
Okay.
So, if you could get that on there.
Do we get Fox Sports 2?
Oh, yeah, we should.
We should. I want to be on 2 and not NASCAR racing, really?
Yeah. Is there a NASCAR race going on now? They do NASCAR races on Friday?
I think they do qualifying for, like, the prelim race, whatever that is.
That seems strange that...
I'm sorry, I don't keep enough track of NASCAR. It's my problem.
It seems strange that Fox Sports 1 would think that qualifying or whatever it is for this NASCAR race would get better ratings than the McGregor Diaz weigh-ins.
Well, it may just be contract stuff too.
Could be.
Oh, I think he just went right by it.
No, I think that was a pay-per-view channel.
Oh, okay.
Well, John will figure it out. He's a wizard with these things. A very smart guy.
But you know, it's a Friday. It's a beautiful day out there. What's up with the textures today? Fred Fowler looks like a high school principal no one likes. Probably accurate, but
that's fair.
It's fair.
Is that on your TV? FS2 guys in office.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Hey, so on that other TV, can you make the other one 602? It's TVG.
I don't know. Let me see.
Because there's a race coming up. I want to watch. Since we're going
to
do this,
Corey says, "Sorry to tell you, but that jury duty is on Steak and BJ Day."
Well.
Wow. That's unfortunate.
Our jury's supposed to be...
Lamont says it can't be more than 1 in 6 months.
God, it's been more than 6 months, yeah.
Yeah, they got to change that rule up. That's too... I mean, every 6 months, I'm supposed to miss a day of work, potentially?
Yeah, see, that's a day of work you should be missing to do something fun, like go to Austin to get beer.
Right.
Yeah. Not jury duty.
Jester King's never open on Mondays.
Well, it'll be Friday then.
I'm off that Friday because that's the day my match is.
Yeah.
What a pain in the ass.
But what if you get a murder trial and then you're going to be there all week and you're not going to get to do your match?
Oh, that's true.
Let's try some phone calls. Kevin. What's up, Kevin? Kevin? Okay, nice try. Give him a shot there.
Kevin's good at breathing.
You know what? I have an idea. When they're interviewing you for the jury, do the interview... is Bob Arum.
Good idea.
I'm pretty sure.
Or Donald Trump.
Or Donald Trump. Either way, I don't think you're getting selected.
That's actually a really good idea.
Yeah. See, every now and then I have one.
You're all over this.
Not very often, but that's... See, when I go in there, I'll just kind of sway back and forth, do the Rain Man thing, and just say every question they ask me, it rubs the lotion on its skin. Hey, let's give something away. A new era of fighting games begins now. Street Fighter V is out. Win a copy now and be blown away. Street Fighter V has new characters, stunning visuals, and tons of fighting fun. It's out on PS4 and PC. Don't even think about calling yourself a gamer unless you own Street Fighter V. Pick it up now. Rated T for teen. Let's get caller number 22. We'll be right back. RJ Bell next. It's The Blitz at ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Blitz.
Rock and roll, boys.
On ESPN 97.5.
And we are back on The Blitz. And we'll get back to your phone calls in just a bit, but right now, it's time... As it is every Friday at 5:30, for the genius that is RJ Bell, pregame.com. Follow him on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. Mr. Bell, how the heck are you, my friend?
You know, really good, really good. You know, I like pressure, but I don't know if the bar needs to be quite that high. But I'm going to live up to it today.
Oh, stop. You've been living up to it. you could come on and have a totally awful segment and just come off as a complete idiot. And people will be like, oh, you had a bad day. This, geniuses do that now and then.
Awful segment? What are you talking about?
So, hey, did you watch that nonsense last night? Is that what moved the odds today on some of these guys?
Well, you know, the thing is, so let's talk a little about the odds. So the starting point is, I think a lot of people may be surprised that Donald Trump is a significant favorite to win the Republican nomination. Now, you might say, well, he's won more than anyone else. It makes sense. But with Trump, there's always been just this built-in skepticism. Obviously, unlike any politician, you know, in recent memory, certainly in the last, you know, 50 years or so, there was some pretty crazy stuff way back when. But, you know, this guy, one of a kind, he's been performed really well, good in the polls, but his odds have always sort of lagged what you would expect for the performance. The fact right now that he's minus 300 to win the Republican nomination, $300 risk to just win 100. Rubio plus 500, so 5-1. Cruz 15-1. Kasich 33-1. So clear favorite for Trump. But here's what's interesting. Just a couple days ago, Trump was minus 600. So minus 600 a couple days ago, minus 300 now. Obviously still favored, but his odds have dropped significantly. And the rationale is this, is it looks like there's going to be a scorched earth approach by the other Republicans. Typically, when a candidate shows their dominance early, the party says, yeah, maybe the second, third guy could catch up eventually, but whatever value there is to giving them to that chance, the fact that we would have this bloody expensive fight for another couple months, they really try to avoid that. And because the party has influence over the other candidates, that tends to happen. Trump has certainly established his dominance so far, but they're not going to get behind him. If anything, they're talking about changing rules at the convention and all kind of extremes to keep Trump out. So we're seeing, not because of a poor Super Tuesday performance, if anything, I would make the case it was right on expectation, which was quite high for Trump, not because the upcoming states look bad. No, he's up 20 points in Florida, has a lead in Ohio. It's because the Republican Party has at least expressed that they're going to fight this thing to the death.
Is that why you're seeing odds on guys like Paul Ryan and Mitt Romney?
Exactly. So let's think about the way this would go, which is if someone has a majority, 50.01% of the delegates or more, they get it automatically. If someone has a plurality of the delegates, but less than 50%, typically, they would get that. So in 1976, President Ford had the most vote or the most delegates in the Republican nomination. Actually, Ronald Reagan running in 76 was second, but he didn't have Ford a majority, went to the floor and Ford won. So it's really been, I think, back to 52 in either party that the majority voter didn't get it. Trump almost certainly, and I would lay $10 to win a dollar on this, will have a majority of the delegates, or, you know, more than the others. Will we have over 50%? That's less likely. Now, you would think, well, since they never take it away from someone that has the most, what's the difference? Well, what we're seeing in the last few days is it seems like the Republicans are going to do their best to take it away. Now, imagine that, guys. Forgetting the odds for a second. Imagine Trump comes in with, let's say, 1,200 delegates, right? He needs, you know, 20 or 30 more. I think it's 12, 17. So he needs 17 more. He doesn't have it. And the next guy has, like, let's say, 700. So it's 700 to 1,200. But somehow they take it away from Trump. You want to talk about a story. You want to talk about the Trump train and a drastic reaction. But that's what the talk is right now.
RJ Bell, our guest, pregame.com. Let's turn it to
you. You didn't know I had that depth of knowledge about politics.
Oh, yes, I did.
I didn't. I think you're just making things up, actually.
Oh, well, that's fun, too. I mean, see if you get any calls in that can contradict me.
We make stuff up all the time. That's fine.
Hey, the thing is, you don't have to be right. Just be wrong with conviction.
Oh, you know, I think if Trump probably has shown a little bit of that.
He's done a lot of that. let's switch it to the NCAA basketball tournament, because I think as we get into conference tournaments next week, there's going to be a lot of talk about the field. And you know, we talked about this a little bit last week about how there might be some value in some of these middle numbers. But you said Kentucky's taken some betting lately. They're down to 16-1.
Yeah, so first off, this is the most parity I've seen in a college basketball season for a long time. You guys follow this very closely. I mean, can you remember a situation that, you know, no one's better than 8-1, that there's so many teams between 8-1 and 16-1? I mean, this is the most parity I've seen. Would you guys agree with that?
No, absolutely. I think there's going to be – usually there's – like last year, there was maybe two or three teams that you saw. Most
and obviously
just Kentucky.
But, you know, potentially historically good.
Usually you'll get there will be like five teams that most people have winning their tournament or winning their bracket. This year I think you could see up to like 9 or 10 that are really spread out and pretty even. And I doubt that ESPN's bracket entries have one team with over 20% of the entries. I think it's that wide open.
So running down the odds real quick, Kansas favorite 8-1, Michigan State 10-1. North Carolina 11-1. Then there's a big jump. Oklahoma 16-1. Kentucky 16-1. Villanova 16-1. Virginia 16-1. Let's talk about Kentucky. There's no sport in which the trend line is more important than college basketball, meaning how good was the team early in the year? How good is the team late in the year? That trend line. Because think of the NFL. If a team is a certain level week three, and then the team's a certain level week 14. The changes, yeah, there's going to be random variants. You're going to play good games and bad games. But if you take a bundle of two or three games early and a bundle of two or three games late, typically teams are quite similar. Big injuries and stuff can change that, but for the most part, they're quite similar. Baseball, just go down the list. NBA. In college basketball, because there is so much youth, the best teams with so many freshmen and sophomores, just imagine is that fifth game is like the fifth game ever in college basketball for some of the, you know, super froshes. And then all of a sudden 30 games later, well, that's their whole career. And, you know, they play AAU obviously in high school before, but it's like the 30 most important games they're ever going to play. So the tip I would give in a big picture macro sense, as you're breaking these teams down, is to say, okay, how much has this team improved? Can we point to their youth as one of the reasons they've improved? And then if you can identify those teams, you often will have an underrated team. Because if you look at the whole season stats, those December stats are not indicative of who they are in March. And I think that's a great approach. And Kentucky, though, I think you're always going to be getting a short price on them because people like to bet Kentucky so much. There's often not value or there's rarely value on Kentucky. But this is a team, you know, young. It's gotten better, gotten a lot of money recently. And I'll say one last thing. This is, I think, a great little fun thing for the bettors out there. Forget the odds for a minute. Make a list of all the teams that you could imagine winning six games and cutting down the nets. All right, now that list, you know, from the pros I talk to, they're saying 12, 14 teams they're thinking that can win it. Your list might be a little different. Now, take the three teams, then look at the odds, and take the three teams that are the longest shot that can win it. My sense is because of all the parity this year, you make a, you know, doesn't matter what you bet, it's all relative, but imagine $10 on each of those three teams, and let's just say on average those teams are, you know, 25 to 30 to 1, if not a little bit higher potentially. So you're literally getting about 10 to 1, you know, in aggregate on your three bets. So if you could have a bundle of three teams that you think have a chance to win it and get 10 to 1 on it, one, it sounds like a good bet if your handicap is correct, and two, obviously a lot of fun.
RJ Bell, our guest. Let's turn it to the NBA because the Warriors have just, the things they've been doing are just ridiculous. And I look at basically even money to win the NBA title. I don't think I've seen the number that low at this stage of the season in a long time. And I still feel like that's not a bad bet at this point.
Yeah, I think a lot of listeners would be surprised by this. So just to kind of repeat it, is right now you can pretty much have even money on Golden State or even money on the field. I think a lot of people are going to think, man, that sounds good with Golden State, like your first instinct. I think a lot of people would think they're really big favorites because if you actually look at their chance to break the Bulls record, now this is an eye popper. Right now, yes, no, will Golden State win 73 or more games, break the all-time regular season win record by the Bulls? Yes is minus 500. No is plus 400. Plus 400. I mean, just 3 weeks ago, this was even money.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you right now, I like the no. I mean, all it takes is a two-week injury by, you know, one of their key players. Not for sure that they won't win, but and again, you lose two. You know, they still got to go to San Antonio, I think, two games. So obviously not sure losses, but they're going to be dogs in both of those. So, and it'll be the first time this year. They haven't been dogs yet this year. So it makes sense to me that Golden State's favored in this way, but to break the record, I don't think they should be minus 500 right now. By the way, Cavs 3-1, San Antonio 3.5-1, OKC 12-1, no other team better than 30-1. So it's Golden State, Cavs, San Antonio, OKC. Now, obviously, you notice that the three of the four teams are in the West. That's why the Cavs have the better chance to win the title than San Antonio. But if San Antonio were to play Cleveland, San Antonio would be a huge favorite, even if you took away home field or home court. So it really shows you the path to the finals and the ease or difficulty of that is very important. And that's an advantage for Cleveland, disadvantage for any team in the West. Another reason, Golden State, I mean, imagine it. It's very viable that Golden State would have to play OKC, have to play San Antonio, and then would have to play Cleveland. And maybe in that first round, they'd have to play the Clippers instead. That'd be a drop-off, but still a pretty tough three, you know, seven-game series in a row.
One more before we let you go, because you talk about injuries, and I find it interesting because there's a lot of discussion about just how great Steph Curry's playing, but LeBron still has more of an impact on his team in terms of odds maker adjustments, right?
Yeah, so if you think about it, LeBron, if he's out of a game he was expected to be in, consensus opinion here in Vegas, a six-point adjustment, a downgrade for the Cavs. With Golden State, with Curry, a four-point downgrade. A lot of people might be surprised by that. You know, you got to remember, it's all about how what your relative value is. In a way, LeBron's a one-man gang. Obviously, Irving's got some talent. Other guys got some talent. But, you know, would the Cavs make – here's the question. Would the Cavs make the playoffs without LeBron?
No.
Maybe Ace in the East? Yeah, but close, right? Golden State's probably what? The third seed in the West without Curry?
Yeah.
So it makes sense. You know, and what's interesting is I go back to the 90s as Michael was worth 5.5 or 6 points. So really, even a little later in his career, and by most accounts, LeBron is on the backside of his pinnacle. Still obviously a super, super player, but not quite as good as he was perhaps 2 years ago, the idea that he's still worth as much as MJ, I think, is, you know, speaks a lot towards him, but also the one-man gang mentality that there is in Cleveland, which we saw in the championship last year. It's hard to go all the way against a really good team with that approach.
See, we put the pressure on you, and you still brought genius. So there you go.
Well, next week, same pressure.
All right, RJ. Appreciate the time, my friend, and look forward to talking to you again, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
All right, that's RJ Bell. Follow him on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. Check out their website, pregame.com. It's got some very cool stuff if you're into gambling, and we are. Very quick break. Come back. It's time for the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
From the ESPN 97.5 Traffic Center, I-45, the Gold Freeway, northbound at Bay Area Boulevard, there's a brand new accident in two left lanes. There's also an accident out on the West Loop, 610 southbound at Westheimer. This report is brought to you by KFC. KFC's new Nashville hot chicken is spicy, smoky, and crispy, and straight from the city that made it famous, Nashville. It's only available for a limited time, so hurry to a KFC near you to get your taste buds two-stepping. It's finger-licking good. From the ESPN 97.5 Traffic Center, I'm Tiffany Terrell.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. The official ESPN 97.5 app is now available for your iOS or Android device. Stream all your favorite shows live on the go or listen to them at your convenience with our on-demand podcast. Just search ESPN 97.5 in your app store and download today. Don't have an iPhone or an Android? You can stream us on any smart device at the all-new ESPN975.com. Very simple. All right. Let's see. What do we have? Texas-Oklahoma State tonight at 8. Bare Knuckle Radio with Dingo and the Boys at noon tomorrow. Drink of Ages at 1 tomorrow. Lone Star Golf Show with Scott Atkinson, 9 a.m. Sunday. Houston Game Day, 10 a.m. Sunday. And Maryland-Indiana coverage at 3:15 on Sunday.
That's going to be a good game.
What the hell is going on in there? Are you being sexually assaulted, John?
No, Charlotte's, I think I can tell this now, but Charlotte's going in for, she has a stage 0 breast cancer, so she's leaving us for a little bit.
Oh, geez.
Having surgery on Monday.
Good luck with that.
Real thoughts and prayers.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Well, that's a bummer. All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The gem of the day. It's the gem of the day. The Zadok Jeweler gem of the day.
We go to Georgia, and I think this headline kind of tells you the whole story that you need to know, but I'm going to read it anyway. Man dressed as clown arrested at Waffle House for smoking meth. 25-year-old Jacob Worthington of Gainesville was arrested for several drug-related charges, including a possession with intent to distribute. Police report from the Athens-Clark County Police Department states officers were called out to a restaurant. And after someone called 911 to report he locked himself in the bathroom after smoking meth. Officer was able to get him out of the bathroom and question him. Police say they found a smoking bowl with marijuana residue inside, LSD wrapped in foil, rolling papers, a digital scale, a jar of marijuana, a jar of mushrooms, a small golden keepsake containing marijuana, and a small bag of white powder among his possession. And did we mention he was dressed as a clown?
Oh, it's so good. Is he like a normal, is he regularly a clown?
Or I don't think so. It doesn't really get into the details of whether or not he's a clown and he amuses us, or whether he was just dressed up as a clown for this instance. Anyway, that's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day. So,
the gem of the day. It's the gem of the day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Brother Bear says, heard a rumor about Johnny Cochran's notes were found after his death, disclosing OJ's guilt's thoughts. It wouldn't matter, because this isn't South Africa where the judge can just say, oh, you know what? You're guilty after all. Double jeopardy. Doesn't matter. I mean, if you're whether he did it or not, And
that's
I think that's
the weird thing. Like, okay, let's say there's some sort of new evidence comes out that OJ did it. Is anybody looking at OJ any differently?
No.
I mean, everybody treats OJ like he did it already. So this is not like a, even if it would have been the knife or whatever, and they could have tied it to him, it doesn't matter. It's not like all of a sudden there's going to be people who go, man, can you believe OJ killed those people? No. Everybody already assumes that OJ did it.
Well, he wrote the whole...
If I did it.
Yeah, and I think we all thought he did, right?
Yeah.
Let's grab a phone call. Ryan, you are on the Blitz. Go, sir.
Hey, sports guys.
Sports to you.
Hey, got a question. With all these quarterbacks that are out right now, free agent-wise, and coming out prospects and all these guys, don't you think RG3 would be someone to roll the dice on? I mean, the kid can play. Yeah, he's got an ego, but, I mean, he's not as much the head case as, like, Kaepernick or some of these young guys. It's easy to draft one, but I feel like RG3 would be someone you can, you know, get him for cheap, roll the dice on. His first year, he was really good. He just got into a bad system whenever Shanahan got dumped and they got whatever the head coach's name is now, and he got into a bad system. And I just think he'd be all right at the Texans if they rolled the dice.
What makes you think that O'Brien's system would be a good system for Robert Griffin? That's what I want to know.
He hung up and listened.
I know everybody says that the kid can play. I don't know that. I mean, he was good as a rookie. He's been borderline awful since.
And you can blame injuries to an extent, but if he's hurt and can't run the way he used to, you've just taken away a big part of his game.
Yep.
And yeah, I feel like we get the same question every single day on RG3. I really do. So here we go. Just for the sake of argument, Jong, remind me of this. The fourth segment, hour five, on Friday, March 4th. If they can get him at an affordable deal, I'd bring him in and take a shot, but I would also draft somebody.
Yeah. You can't bring in RG3 and assume that he's the future at your position. There's no way to do that. And honestly, listen, I've made it pretty clear how I feel about Colin Kaepernick as a player. I don't know who I'd rather have. I don't like either one of them. Both of them had flash hot starts to their career and crapped out. And I don't know that I'm looking to really tie my cart to either one of those guys.
If I can get them cheap and I almost would rather say Kaepernick just because of the bigger body, a little more durable.
Yeah.
Hasn't been hurt. And maybe O'Brien can fix him. I mean, if you can get what you got out of Brian Hoyer out of him and he can run, that's an upgrade. I don't think
that either of these guys, and I know at this point Bill O'Brien just wants a quarterback who can win him some games. I can't imagine that either one of those guys are the guys that Bill O'Brien looks at as an ideal answer at quarterback, you know?
That's why I say if they bring him in, you better draft one too anyway. And you've got to give yourself as many chances as possible to get this right. Just my humble opinion. One thing I know you can get right is to donate your car to my good friends at Houston Can Academies. That's right. If you got a vehicle, doesn't matter what kind of shape it's in, doesn't have to be running, doesn't matter if it's a car even, might be a motorcycle, anything, and you're not using it anymore, well, you can do a great thing with it. All you have to do is donate it to Houston Cars for Kids. You're going to get, they're going to come tow it free of charge. It's very easy. Your donation's tax deductible. They'll take care of all the paperwork, and you're going to get a free $50 Visa gift card if you tell them you heard about it on the Blitz. And it doesn't matter where you are. If you can hear my voice, they will come and pick that vehicle up and take care of it for you. And the great thing is they'll take those vehicles, and that money goes to help kids at Houston Can Academies. And if you're not familiar with Houston Can Academies, you probably heard people tell you before, write off the car, not the kid. Well, they're really not writing off the kids, because what they do is take at-risk kids, they give them a second chance. These are kids who have dropped out for a lot of reasons. Some of them had to get jobs for their, you know, take care of their families, all kinds of reasons they've had to drop out, and they give them a second chance. And they help them out if they need glasses, if they need food, if they need transportation. That's what that money goes to. So they work with these kids and get them through. And so many of them go on to graduate and do great things. And that's all because of those donations that you give. So if you're looking at a vehicle right now that you're not using, Just pick up the phone. 713-225-4226. 713-225-4226. And think about the difference you can make. HoustonCarsForKids.com. Right off the car, not the kid.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.